It's Friday morning. It's June 5th, and we're here to help you win your league on Fantasy Baseball today. And we've got a special surprise for everyone. I hope you're sitting down. We have Heath Cummings.
Boom.
Oh, what? Scott, you sound so disappointed.
Well, it's not a surprise to me. I thought you were going to, like, whip out a cake or something. I don't know.
That wouldn't do as much good, would it, Scott?
No.
I was really left with no choice because I was challenged yesterday that it sounded like I was getting ready to get voted out of the podcast listeners league if I didn't come on the podcast. So I thought I better get on the podcast.
Well, we're glad to have you, Heath, and Al's here too.
Yes.
I just wanted to say hi, Al.
Oh, well, hey, Adam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. We're going to talk
feeling
the
better.
What's that?
You feeling
actually
you feeling
no.
Better?
I was lying when I said I'm feeling very well. I'm glad you asked. I feel like crap. I sound like crap, and I apologize for that. For all of you who have to listen to my nasally voice, but deal with it. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll look at the most added list. Hopefully, some buy low, sell high candidates. Some players who are on mini streaks. And now that Heath is here, we will have some good DFS advice for you later. The hardest day that I've seen so far this year to pick a starting pitcher, Heath.
I think it's one of the easiest. There's only one choice.
Who?
Jake Odorizzi.
That's who I picked.
Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously, I mean, that's Al was complaining that I picked him because then he had to pick somebody else for the show tonight. So if all three of us think that, I can't imagine okay. There is another option.
It's a full slate and that's the best pitcher who's going?
It's yes. The only viable pitcher.
Just wow. Wait. Just
at
wait.
Least in a cash game.
Yeah, it's awful. So I guess that was Oder easier than I thought.
Right? Adam, I had a bad morning.
Oh, okay. Well, then
you want to know why I had a bad morning?
I would love to.
I woke up, checked my email, looked through the transactions in all my fantasy leagues last night, and noticed that somebody in one of my leagues won Lance McCullers for $0. Yes.
That's terrible.
I know. I assumed he was owned everywhere, so I didn't even bother to check.
Wait a second. Was that me? Because I did
no.
pick him up.
Okay. No, there's a league you're not in.
Okay.
Guys, I'm kind of worried that start is going to overhype him a little bit. I know we talked about it yesterday, but let's just talk about it again.
What?
That was by far McCullers' best start, and it was against a team that really hasn't been hitting very well. And I talked about what Erasmo Ramirez did against the Orioles the last time he faced them, two starts ago for Ramirez.
He had been just as dominant in his previous three starts. He just didn't go deep. That was the only issue.
No. In his previous three, okay, he had made four starts before that, right? And he didn't
three.
Pitch five innings in two of them.
Right. But he was dominant in those innings.
Dominant
in
four and
two-thirds?
His strikeout
rate didn't budge. Didn't budge with that 11 strikeout performance.
But he backed it up better in this recent start by getting a lot of swings and misses. I'm not complaining about the previous starts, but the swings and misses, the strikes thrown were much better in this start. It was his best start.
I already owned him in two leagues, and I picked him up in a third, so I'm definitely not saying don't pick him up.
Well, trade him to me. Trade him. I'll take him.
Okay.
I did say before that start that I felt like it was his best opportunity to get deep because of who he was facing.
You did say that.
If he gets an aggressive offense like the Orioles that don't really walk and strike out a lot and swing a lot, he's going to have a lot better time. If he faces a team that doesn't strike out or that is patient, I still think he's going to go back to struggling.
But it's not like he had walk problems. I think they were just being careful with his innings because he's never thrown more than like 100 or so in as a professional. And, I mean, they're to a point now where he's their second best pitcher after Keuchel.
Well,
and
he had walk problems.
Wait a second.
Not his previous three starts.
Well,
he had six walks in 14 innings. That's four walks per nine.
And I think 60% strikes thrown.
It's not.
That's
Scott.
It's too high.
It's not scary, though. It doesn't scare me.
Scott, you're already calling him.
Sample.
You're already calling him your second best pitcher when you've been so high on Colin McHugh since day one.
Not since day one.
He's got to back it up.
Oh, since preseason.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, I've noticed the cooling of Scott White on Colin McHugh.
He hasn't been who I thought he'd be. And I'm not, in terms of fantasy ownership, I do still rank McHugh ahead of McCullers, to be clear. But if I'm the Astros right now and I have control over how many innings McCullers throws, I'm considering him my second best pitcher based on what I've seen so far.
Well, I hope you are right. Because I'm heavily invested in Lance McCullers. We got some news for you. Let's start with the big news. And Anthony Rendon is back. He batted second. He played second. And then he moved to third when Yoenis Escobar got hurt. Escobar is day-to-day with a wrist injury, I think. And Rendon went 2-for-4 with a double, struck out twice, and he attempted a steal. He was caught stealing. This is a guy who was elite last year, number 2 second baseman in fantasy behind Jose Altuve. Give me your rest of season expectations for Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, I would say a little down from last year. Not because I mean, this is a great first game back for him, but just because I think that he overachieved a bit power-wise last season. So, rest of the season, I'd say probably between 10 and 15 home runs, maybe a 290-ish average.
Cool. Okay.
I got to the point where even anticipating his return was coming, I was moving Todd Frazier, Matt Carpenter ahead of him, Nolan Arenado. I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was like Donaldson and Rendon 1 and 2 at third base in some order. And now that he's back, I'm not motivated to move him up to second all of a sudden.
I did the same thing, actually, knowing he was
coming
back.
So what changed?
Because
I don't feel like anything changed.
Well, I mean, Frazier and Carpenter certainly changed. Right. Arenado, to some extent, did too. And I think just beyond that, it's once you're... I guess once you're removed to the freshness of Rendon, once you're removed from the newness of him,
right,
and you have a moment to step back and look at what he can do compared to what these other players can do. Now, knowing these other players can't actually do this and it's not just a hypothetical thing,
yeah,
it makes him seem not as impressive, which isn't to say he's not elite. It's just these other guys are elite too.
Well, I didn't move him down in the second base rankings. So for
Neither
me,
did I.
For me, it is entirely about the third base field and nothing about Rendon.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I still am second at second. So
how about this news about Devin Mesoraco? They're going to try to get him to play some left field. It's not a certainty. That's if and when, if he comes off the DL. Okay. What do we do here with Devin Mesoraco? He's available in one of my leagues and I think, oh, maybe I should pick him up, but I don't know. What do you advise regarding Devin Mesoraco?
I think you should pick him up. And if you're holding him, you should not drop him yet. I think you just got to watch the situation. If it doesn't go well, which I think is a distinct possibility, then he's safe to drop. Mm-hmm. But I think if there's the chance for him with still his catcher eligibility to play semi-regularly, he's worth having.
We're going on a catcher run from Mesoraco to Matt Wieters, who's expected to start today. To Brian McCann, an MRI on McCann's foot was negative, and he is day-to-day. Now to the bullpen, Kenley Jansen. He was unavailable Wednesday. We talked about it yesterday. We didn't know why. It might have been heart-related. He had an irregular heartbeat at one point. He had tests for it. Seems like he may have been just dehydrated, and Jansen appears to be okay, and he was available to pitch yesterday. So that's good news. Mookie Betts was batting seventh again with Hanley Ramirez batting second for the Red Sox. We'll keep an eye on that, but Betts went 2-for-4 with a double. Victor Martinez could be back next week. Heath, what do you think about V-Mart rest of season?
I am not really that excited about V-March, and I think it's because Scott made his bold prediction earlier in the year and said he was going to be on the most dropped list, and I just bought into it.
It probably happened at some point, right? Did he not get dropped when he went on the DL?
Let's check his ownership.
Let's check. I'll beat you there. 89, so yeah, not that much.
He hasn't made it yet.
He hasn't. So that bold prediction may be wrong because I didn't drop him in any of the leagues where I drafted him.
Right.
And if this gave his knee a chance to heal so that he can actually bat against righties again, could be the game changer, because against lefties, he was a monster still.
Well, and if you'll remember, before the season, I wasn't high on him, so I'm probably not a very good guy to expect to be high on him now after he's missed part of the season on the disabled list, and I'm just not. I mean, he's old.
He was old last year.
Is now a good
he's
time?
Older. He's older now for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
That happened, yes.
Heath Cummings, ladies and gentlemen, is now a good time to make a low ball offer on Victor Martinez. And how low would you go?
Last week would have been a better time.
Yeah.
For sure. That's another fact.
But it's still an okay time. Let me see where I have him ranked. Maybe you could offer, like, Brandon Moss for him. Okay. He's hot. Chris Carter's heating up. Maybe one of them.
Then, yeah, like that. Yeah, kind of a utility or third outfielder type that you might not miss that much.
And finally, Houston will remove Stupid Hill and the flagpole from center field next season.
You didn't like it? You didn't like Towles Hill?
I do not like Towles Hill.
I did like it.
It made the first time I saw that, the first time the Braves visited the Enron Field, as it was called at the time.
Oops.
It just blew my 14-year-old mind, or however old I was at the time.
God,
with that hill out there.
Has it been around that long? I don't really. I guess maybe it's been around
Let's look it up.
Okay.
I don't think they should have caved to the pressure and taken it out.
I mean, that'd be like the Marlins taking the home run thingy out, which should never happen.
I agree. Actually, as much as it's such an eyesore, I still like the Marlins home run thing, but I do not like the hill. I think it's dumb.
And they're moving it in 25 feet?
25, 27, something like that. But it's still going to be one of the longest, deepest center fields. It's going to be over 400 feet to straightaway center next year.
Removing the hill removes the excitement factor in baseball, because how many every single catch made on the hill made the highlight reel, like the national highlight reel, you know? So there's going to be fewer highlights now.
I agree.
If they get hurt on that hill, I don't recall anybody getting injured.
I don't know. I don't recall that happening either.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm in the minority. I just think it's kind of weird.
I don't think you're in the minority.
You don't think so?
By the way, it opened in 2000, so it opened the day before I turned 16.
Oh, well, happy 16th
but still,
birthday.
That's longer ago than I thought.
Yeah.
Let's move on and talk about some ground ball hitters and a ground ball pitcher. As I was doing some reading on the website and came across a Dane Perry blog talking about how Pablo Sandoval is hitting a lot more grounders this year. And then I read Chris Towers' Fantasy Baseball Today blog about Ian Desmond. And it's a very interesting blog entry saying that he's only had one steal this year, Ian Desmond, but if you look at other indicators, there's nothing to say that he's slowing down. He's still taking the extra base when he's running on the base paths, things like that, but he's just not stealing. And additionally, he is hitting a lot more ground balls this year. So Sandoval and Desmond are hitting grounders, and Gio Gonzalez has by far the most ground balls against that he's ever had, and a 379 BABIP for Gio, who walked four yesterday, by the way, but also a career-high 31% line drive rate. We'll come back to Gio in a second. Sandoval and Desmond both are struggling. Al, you're a data guy. What do you think of this ground ball stuff?
Well, it's bad news for Sandoval, to be sure, for a couple reasons. One, because I don't see him lugging out too many infield hits. I don't think I'm alone in that either.
No.
And but more of the issue is that he's been a good line drive hitter. I don't know what his line drive rate is now. But he's been a really good line drive hitter over his career, and that seemed to be tailor-made for Fenway Park. So that's not going to allow him to make the most of his new venue. And as far as Desmond goes, power's a big part of his game, and that's been lacking. Mm-hmm. So not great developments for either, but it definitely gives me more concern for Sandoval.
No, go ahead.
Okay. And Baseball Reference is down this morning, so I can't just check to see how many left-handers the Red Sox have faced this year. But I know there was a couple weeks early on where they were facing a bunch because they had Sandoval as a sit. He just can't hit left-handers to the point that he started batting left-handed against left-handers. And I can't help but wonder if that has something to do with this increase in ground ball. Like maybe he still is a good start against the righties.
That's what I was just going to say. We were on the same page.
Okay.
And
great.
Baseball Reference may be down, but Fangraphs thankfully is not.
Oh.
So I've got some information on that.
Go ahead. Oh, okay.
He has a 259 OPS against lefties.
You're not finding the information I wanted to find, though.
Just
I
wait.
To see
just
how
wait.
Many left-handers Boston, the Red Sox
Boston has
recently.
Boston has the seventh most at-bats against lefties this year.
But he's not hitting as many ground balls against lefties as he is against righties. He's hitting more ground balls against righties than he is against lefties.
That's interesting.
52% ground ball rate against righties.
Sandoval, but, just like Desmond, got off to a slow start last year. But just like Desmond, it did not last this long. He hit 176 in April last year, Sandoval. Then he hit over 300 the next 4 months. So I guess what I'm asking is, Sandoval and Desmond, who are you more confident in a bounce back to their respective levels of
Sandoval.
Okay. And I'll reiterate Desmond, because I think that his game isn't as reliant on power as it is for Sandoval, and just because Sandoval, I think, has the greater injury risk. So I think
Desmond's the better power hitter than Sandoval, though. Like,
right, but he, if he has less power, at least he has the speed.
But he hasn't had the speed
so far. But like Chris was saying, Chris Towers was saying, there's, you know, look, we've seen this with base runners before, where the steals can come in bunches, and every speed indicator suggests that Desmond hasn't lost a step.
Yeah, I worry about stolen bases, because it's not so much a matter of ability as much as it is choice. And if they're not making the choice to run him this year, maybe it changes, but maybe it doesn't. It just seems like we're gambling on the unknown here.
And Gio Gonzalez, Al recently called him a buy-low candidate. Heath, how do you feel about Gio Gonzalez and his high line drive rate, but also high BABIP, 379 BABIP? Maybe that goes hand in hand.
I mean, those things go hand in hand a little bit. I'm having a hard time separating 2015 Gio Gonzalez from last night Gio Gonzalez, because I played him in daily, and that's the way my brain has been programmed to work over the last few weeks. But I don't know how excited I am about him as a buy-low candidate, to be honest. I worry. I know that the line drive rate can fluctuate a lot, but getting hit hard is not a good sign.
Al, final thought on Gio?
All right. Well, yeah, I was scrambling to find the hard contact rate on him to see if that's really been an issue. No, it's lower this. It's a career low hard contact rate this year,
according to your data.
Yeah, according to my data,
which
is actually Fangraphs data.
Okay. So is that?
No, I still think he's a really good buy low candidate. I mean, is that exciting? No, I'll agree with you. It's not exciting. But if you've got a situation where maybe you've got a top heavy rotation, and you know, and you could really be helped by getting a number three, number four guy, or like a situation I was in one league recently where I was very pitching heavy and hitting light, and I was able to sell high on some of my better pitchers, could also be a nice way to restock your rotation, probably at a not very great cost.
Let's get into yesterday's action. Tweet of the day is from Owen. Can you please talk about Robbie Ray? Higher velocity, looks like a different pitcher. Last night, 5 scoreless innings against the Mets with 6 hits and 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. And his other start this year was 6 innings, 1 run, no walks, 5 strikeouts at Colorado. And yeah, I mean, the velocity is certainly up from this time last year. It's about the same as it was late in the season last year, but it's good. It's like 94-ish for a lefty.
Especially for a left-hander. He throws really hard, but he's been a different pitcher in those 2 starts in the majors than he's been in the minors this year. In the minors, he's been walking everybody in sight.
So, well, and let's remember who those 2 starts were against as well. I mean, the Mets and the Rockies, especially the Rockies against left-handed pitchers, are really, really bad this year.
But the Mets are not bad against lefties.
What? They're hitting .249 against lefties.
Their OPS is like top 10.
Oh, there you go. Citing batting average again, Heath.
I hadn't gotten to that page yet. Their OPS is top 5?
No, top 10, I think. I looked it up this morning for the same reason, to see, because I knew the Rockies were bad against lefties, and Robbie Ray, I looked it up for the same reason to talk about Robbie Ray.
The Mets are 11th.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Does anybody know if Ray has a chance of sticking around? Because it's a moot point if he doesn't. I'm not picking him up. I guess my takeaway is I'm not picking him up.
Bradley's on the DL, so you'd think there's a chance.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
no, I don't think there's great competition, until Corbin's ready.
If he put together like 4 or 5 of these starts, I think the upside is high enough that you'd have to take it. A shot at him then, but I'm not confident he's overcome those control issues based on 2 starts.
Tweet of the day number 2 is from Nathan Joyce. Joey Butler stealing bases like NSYNC was stealing hearts in the 90s.
That is an interesting metaphor.
He stole 2 bases yesterday. NSYNC definitely stole more than 2 hearts, but Butler again was good.
Yeah, I'm still not really interested in any sort of mixed league for Butler. I just think he's really overachieved. He's colabelloing it. That he's got, and actually that's not even nice to Colabello, because I do think Colabello has good power. And I'm not really sure that Butler's power is going to even maintain the level that it's at, whereas he's got 4 home runs so far. But the batting average is due for serious regression, and the stolen bases, I mean, that was kind of a fluky thing, I think.
Hey, Heath.
Hey, yeah.
I do the, you know, I talk about FanDuel every day. I tell people to sign up and use our offer code. Can you do like a 15-second impromptu FanDuel promo, because, you know, you're all about it, and tell everyone how great it is?
So not a read, even, just a...
A testimonial?
A testimonial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give us a personal account of why you love FanDuel so much.
Well, I mean, if you watch the ads, what you'll hear is if some, in season long, your players get hurt, so this is better. And you're never out of it because the next day is always a new league. And I don't want to try to tell anybody that they should play FanDuel instead of season long, because I love playing season long as well. I think it's a nice addition to season long. And I feel like over the long term, if you can be good with your money at managing it, if you pay attention and you are somebody that enjoys looking at stats and trying to solve problems, you will get what you put into it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I like it so much, because it's a lot like season long. It's just, it just changes every day.
Yeah. No, it is really a lot of fun. We're enjoying it very much. You should watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern to get your advice for FanDuel every night. That's going to be on CBSSports.com. But right now, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our code CBSPOD. And we've been telling you about that offer. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel's going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. And that offer code, again, is CBSPOD. Yesterday's standouts. Give me the big ones, guys. Who do we need to talk about from Thursday's action?
My gosh, it was a boring day yesterday.
That's why you should have watched the NBA Finals. That was anything but boring.
Just not a lot noteworthy happened, I feel like. But I do think the most noteworthy performance I saw was by one Jesse
Carlos
Hahn.
Rodon.
Is that who you were going
to
say?
I thought you were going to say that. I was trying to jinx you.
Yep, Jesse Hahn, who didn't even go six innings in five of his first six starts and now has four straight six-plus, including this seven-inning start and a nine-inning start a couple starts ago. And if the thing is, like, it's not like he suddenly became more efficient, just they're letting him throw 100 pitches now when they weren't before. So if that threshold has been crossed, suddenly you have a guy who's been throwing a lot of strikes, not giving up any home runs. The strikeout rate leaves a bit to be desired, but I do think he's a fringy mixed league option now.
More standouts? Al Heath?
The biggest thing for me was that the week of regression for crappy but don't look crappy by their stats starting pitchers continued.
Who would those be?
Just lay off Chris Young, okay?
We had Nick Martinez a couple days ago. Last night it was Aaron Harang and Chris Young. And I think it's just a good reminder that a tiger doesn't change its stripes.
So you'd have no problem dropping any of those guys if there was someone you really liked?
If there was somebody I really liked that had potential to be, like, good over the long term.
Shows you what you drop. Those guys aren't even tigers.
Those guys aren't even. That's true. That's a good point.
Would you drop either of them for Robbie Ray?
No.
I would be not afraid to drop either of them either. I'm not ready to, like, completely write off Harang, though, because the five walks were out of character for him. That was, the tiger doesn't change its stripes that way either.
Right.
Well, yeah, I would agree that it doesn't really change my mind on Harang, even though I made the brilliant move of starting him in daily last night. I picked picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue. picked the wrong day to start Aaron Harang. But he's been very consistent. I mean, I'm sure that was his worst start this season.
Yes,
he's been very consistent this year. And I think it'd be a mistake to, if you owned him, to drop him based on that start. As for Chris Young, you knew that was coming, and you might have had a sense that that was the start where it was going to happen, because the Indians didn't really pose a great matchup for him. But, Chris Young is going to be who he is, which is that against teams that don't hit righties especially well, at Kauffman, at other good parks, he's going to be really good. Otherwise, not so much.
The one thing Aaron Harang has going for him, because you know I'm not a huge fan, but he does get to pitch in the NL East. And that is a haven for pitchers.
Would you rather have Aaron Harang or Jesse Hahn?
I'd rather have Jesse Hahn.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll be the holdout here. I'd rather have Harang.
Would you rather have Aaron Harang or Chad Bettis?
Harang.
Harang.
Yeah, I need to see more from Bettis.
And I've got a standout for you in a bad way. He didn't even play yesterday. And that's not good because his team played. Marcus Semien. Last 15 games batting 175 with one extra base hit. He's got 19 errors. I don't think we really got into Semien yesterday. We just kind of breezed past it. I'm concerned. How about you?
I am too, but it's actually because of the defense. And maybe it's just a cockeyed theory, but I have to wonder because his defense is so bad if he's putting more pressure on himself just overall.
I do think there's a good chance. Obviously, if this continues, they'll move him, but I don't think they'd just take him out of the lineup.
I'm not worried. I'm worried about him staying in the lineup and doing what he has been doing lately.
Roenis Elias, how would you compare him to Jesse Hahn? He's been pretty good. 2.94 ERA, had a good start against the Rays.
I'd say I like him slightly better.
Yeah, I like him better. He's kind of starting to impress me a little bit.
What do you guys like about him? Because I feel like the peripherals aren't as promising.
I think he's going to be a better strikeout, much better strikeout pitcher than Hahn is. Of course, you know, where Hahn has a huge advantage is in the ground ball rate.
And walks.
Some advantage there. But, Hahn to me is a guy that I'm going to want to play him certain two start weeks, and that's probably about it because of the lack of strikeouts. Elias, I could just see having more consistent value.
He's still a below average strikeout pitcher, though. I think in terms of Hahn, him, Elias, and Harang, we're talking about streamable mixed leagues types. That's like the upside for all three.
I'll agree. I just think I will be willing to stream Elias more often.
Ooh, Al, somebody just emailed us with analysis of your Phil Hughes dream.
Uh-oh.
Oh, geez.
I'm sitting.
Randy from East Stroudsburg. I have a theory that Al's Phil Hughes dream means just this. And I haven't read this, by the way, so.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
You might want to screen that. Just saying.
No, it's okay. Deep down in Al's psyche, he was hoping that this year Hughes was going to follow up his 2014 season, and now it's gnawing at him, get it, that he actually is terrible. Al still wants the ball, though, because he does not want Hughes' dream to die.
I think that's very astute.
Thank you, Randy. Good. I'm glad we have some dream analysis on the podcast.
Do we have time for another standout?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because I feel like we have not talked about Brett Laurie in a very long time.
Oh, he's in mini streaks, so just wait one second.
I'll just hold my horses.
Yeah, but does anybody realize how bad Ryan Zimmerman has been? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Can I do a DFS standout?
Yeah.
It doesn't really have any seasonal relevance, but he does for DFS. Do you know who I'm going to say?
Yeah, I do.
We were surprised to find earlier in the year John Mayberry is actually good against left-handed pitchers. Like, really, really good. And he crushed last night. I think he had two doubles and a home run. He's always dirt cheap. He rarely plays, but when he plays against a mediocre lefty, he's somebody, or bad lefty, somebody you might want to put in your lineup.
I did want to talk about two more standouts. Ryan Zimmerman's been terrible. One multi-hit game, three extra base hits since May 12th. He's down to 217 with five home runs. Number 19 third baseman in points leagues. Number 29 in roto for Ryan Zimmerman. What are we thinking here?
I'm thinking he's got to sit. But, I can't see dropping him at this point because there has been inconsistency there. Of course, a lot of that is health-related. But I could see him having a much better second half.
And Carlos Rodon is 71% owned. Would you rather have Rodon or McCullers?
Madonna. That's what you were going to say, right?
I forgot Rodon is a standout. Yeah, I guess that was a kind of an eye-opening start. And apparently he was kind of getting squeezed, too, on the strike zone with Dana DeMuth behind the plate. I don't know if he's, like, notoriously a small strike zone guy, but that was something I read, that they felt like he was getting squeezed. So, you know, the three walks maybe could have been lower. That I guess, was the one bad item on this six-inning start.
Yeah,
it was
Rangers...
nice to see him get 10 strikeouts without walking the world, either way.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, against a team that's hitting well and hits lefties well.
So wait, what's the answer? Rodon or McCullers?
McCullers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Worth stashing. Tell me if these guys are worth stashing. We always talk about the Medlins and the, Ivan Nova and Patrick Corbin and Matt Moore. What about these lower end guys? AJ Griffin scheduled for a rehab start Sunday. Matt Cain nearing a rehab assignment. Danny Duffy nearing a rehab assignment. And then relief pitcher Rafael Soriano is going to throw for teams on June 11th. AJ Griffin, Matt Cain, Danny Duffy. Any interest in those guys on your DL right now?
Yeah, Griffin, I would say especially. You know, might not be far off. And, as long as he can keep the home runs in check this time around, he could be really good.
He's never has yet, though. That's like he had that good season where it was like 1.6 per nine or something.
Was it that high? Because I know it was high. But, you know, if it's not like ridiculously like Marco Estrada, Colby Lewis high.
That basically is, right?
He's 1.4 for his career.
Okay, but
1.6 in 2013, 1.1 in 2012.
I'll live with that. That's high. That's high. But given how many outs he gets,
yeah.
I can live with that. You notice the similarity, by the way, with some other pitchers I like?
Chris Young.
You yeah, like love fly ball pitchers.
I love fly ball pitchers in good parks.
What about Matt Cain?
Matt Cain.
Another fly ball pitcher in a good park.
I think Matt Cain's probably better than Griffin when he's right. But he hasn't been right in a long time now. And because it's a forearm injury, I worry still about that. That setback coming at some point. So I haven't been motivated to stash him. We'll see how much further he gets in this rehab.
Time to look at mini streaks. Here are some guys who are on, you know, mini streaks. Xander Bogaerts, 11 for 18 in his last five games with one steal. He has four steals this year in five attempts. He only had two steals last year. Shin-Soo Chu, four walks in his last two games, six walks in his last four games. Brandon Phillips has been revitalized as a leadoff hitter. Batting leadoff in nine games, he's batting .310. He has scored seven runs, and in his last four games, Brandon Phillips is 10 for 20. Delino DeShields, last five games, he's 9 for 23. He also crushes lefties, .349 with a .535 slugging percentage. He's faced a lot of lefties, not quite one-to-one with righties, but not too far off. Brett Laurie, three straight two-hit games, and Adam Eaton, 2 for 5 with his third steal at Texas last night.
I'm dying to hear what Al has to say about Brett Laurie because he suggested him 2 days in a row. We kind of go through and pick which players we want to do player analysis videos on for the day. He picked him yesterday and I did a video on him and basically completely dismissed him. And then he was back on the list today.
Oh, so we did do a video because it was,
yeah.
Okay. Then maybe we should strike him because I thought he got cut yesterday. So
well, no, what do you have to say about it? What is so fascinating to you about Brett Laurie?
Well, now you've set it up that anything I say is because I'm not that excited. I just want to point out the fact that he is on this hot streak that I think he's not terrible anymore. He is
really
hitting, yeah, he is hitting for, you know, for harder contact. He's been hitting for a good average now for a month plus.
But the one good thing I feel like he had going for him prior to this year was strikeout rate, and that's way, way up.
Yeah, it is way up. It's you know, more recently he's been striking out less, so it's something to watch.
Okay.
So I'm not super excited, like must be picked up in every format excited about him, but it's just, okay, he's starting to improve. He's probably not going to be anywhere close to as bad as he was the first month of the season. And, you know, not somebody that you just write off in roto leagues anymore.
I do show that in June he's only striking out 8% of the time.
Yeah, it's a kind of a small sample, but yeah.
There you go.
Heath, yeah, I read a lot of names there, Heath. I'm sorry, Al. Bogaerts, Chu, Phillips, DeShields, Laurie, and Eaton. Anything jump out to you?
DeShields has jumped out to me. I'm not really buying into Chu. I don't know if I've just given up on him and I can't get myself to ever buy back in, but I'm done with Chu.
Done with Chu.
But DeShields has definitely caught my eye.
You're done with Chu.
Why are you done with Chu?
It's just an odd time to be done with Chu. You were already done with him, I assume,
yes,
before this started?
Yes, I was already done with him.
Well, okay. Give Heath credit, because a lot of times, you know, we say DTM. You know, this player is dead to me. And then we resurrect them.
Yes.
Which really kind of invalidates the whole meaning of DTM.
Yeah.
So you're consistent.
I'm sticking with my DTM on Chu.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. The hot streak. Or
okay.
Mini hot streak.
He is not DTM.
Mini hot streak. It's a maxi hot streak now.
Maxi hot streak.
That's the opposite of many, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the Rangers are going to be looking to play DeShields at second base. He got some playing time there once, but doesn't look like that's going to be a thing. So he's got to prove it over the next 3 to 4 weeks while Josh Hamilton is out, and then Hamilton will return in 2 days, and then he will go back on the DL for another injury. Drop or stash? So you're making your lineup moves over the weekend. You got to pick people up. Tell me, you know, how would you feel about dropping these guys for someone, just someone you like? Steve Pierce.
I've been in that situation. Can't drop him. Too much season left. Too much potential that we saw last year. And he's, you know, he's picked it up a bit lately.
Alex Guerrero, 68% owned.
I think I want to preface this whole list by saying we have to be talking about rotisserie leagues, because I think the head-to-head points leagues with 21-man rosters, like, none of these guys are undroppable.
None of them? What about Jason Hayward and Bruce Nate Castillo?
Look, you dropped Jay Bruce in the podcast league, and he hasn't been picked up since. I don't think Jason Hayward's in a different category.
Okay, well, that's good to know. He's 94% owned. I think we need to make that clear.
Okay. So if we're speaking about rotisserie leagues for Guerrero, I'd be a little hesitant to drop him, yeah. About as hesitant, a little less hesitant than Pierce, but hesitant.
Here's the thing is, the Dodgers are going to get more healthy. So they're going to have some of their even more players in the future, and he's not getting consistent playing time when they're not healthy. So that's what the reason Guerrero, I think, is a very talented player, obviously, and he's got a lot of upside. But if he's not playing now consistently, I don't know when he's going to play consistently.
And there's always a potential roadblock there. They're playing Enrique Hernandez everywhere.
Yeah,
he's getting some nice playing time now.
I am trying so hard to sell Alex Guerrero before it's too late, before Puig gets back.
You know, yeah, I don't think you're gonna. I mean,
I don't know.
What are you gonna sell him for?
Well, him and something else. Like I just made an offer of Belt and Guerrero for Edwin Encarnacion, and it almost worked.
Real.
Well, keep in mind.
I played with some.
Again, this is right.
Not so wise players.
There was a discussion, and I'm not going to say who all was involved in the discussion, but there was a discussion in the office last week about the quality of your trade offers.
You know what, man? Look at the trade.
You were the one who brought it up.
Obviously, I was part of it.
I wasn't going to
incriminate anyone else, but I think you just incriminated yourself.
What did I offer you?
No, I didn't. I did not agree with that, Adam. I did not. No.
Agree with what? It was just a discussion about the quality of his trade offers. I didn't say anything negative about him.
I think that offer you made, you talked about making earlier, Belt and Guerrero for Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
Was a laughable offer.
Yes, agree.
I would agree with that.
Uh-huh.
And I would not have the guts to try it myself.
Well, I wouldn't
but
do
I,
it
But I don't
in...
think you're nearly as bad as some people I've come across.
I wouldn't do it in a league with you guys, I know that, but...
Oh, you have done it in a league with us.
What trade did I offer you that was so bad, Heath?
I believe... It may have been the last time I was on the podcast.
I remember you using an example that wasn't as bad as you made it out to be.
Yeah,
it was when you
Soria.
Were trying to trade for a closer, and you basically made the proclamation, I would like to trade for a closer, but I don't want to pay for a closer.
You were asking for the world for Greg Holland.
No, I wasn't at all.
I get Adam's position, though, because it was in a head-to-head points leagues where there's some closers on waivers. I don't think any closer should have that much value in that format. But at the same time, I know other people would disagree with me. So it would be hard to find someone who's, willing to just give you a closer when there's other people in the league who would actually pay for a closer.
I don't even remember what ridiculous offer it was
either.
That he made, but it was ridiculous.
It was not that ridiculous. Now, here's my thing with trades. Like, you know, sometimes go ahead and make the offer. Like, I would have said two or three weeks ago when the trade happened, Yasmani Grandal straight up for Ian Desmond is ridiculous. And if I had offered that to you, you would have laughed at me. But it went through in our podcast league. So make the offer. If someone declines, come back with a better offer.
Oh, I think you've made a couple, at least, ridiculous trades in the podcast league where you've taken advantage of people.
If you make an offer so bad, yeah, you've made a couple good trades, Adam. But I don't think they were ridiculous.
No, they
weren't. League's on the verge of vetoing them trades.
No.
I think they were wise offers by Adam. But I think if you make an offer so ridiculous that you offend somebody...
Right.
Then they're going to be more likely to decline you out of principle in the future.
And you're going to have, you're going to be Jeffrey Loria. You're going to have a hard time gaining the trust of your fellow owners.
All right. So let me go right through the rest of this dropper stash list and you guys tell me, I guess like who's the most droppable? Cause I have Jimmy Paredes, who's 79% owned, Jason Hayward, 94%, Rusne Castillo, we should probably talk a little about him. He's batting 190. Caleb Joseph, 55%, excuse me. Melky Cabrera, 77%, and Michael Franco, 51.
To me, there's no question that Caleb Joseph is the most droppable.
Jumped out to me.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Paredes sat again yesterday. He's been cold. I just dropped him in our podcast league. How you feeling about him?
Lukewarm. I guess even less than that. I wouldn't drop him in a roto league, but at the same time, it's kind of like, well, you had to think this was coming.
He sort of won me over, and I think I'm willing to give him another week or two. I think even in a head-to-head points league, give him another week or two just to see if it's a slump that's actually the fluke.
In a roto league, I think I'd give him maybe even a little longer than that.
Oh, sure.
I do feel like another hot streak's coming.
Yeah, I dropped Paredes for Bogaerts, so it wasn't like I was completely done with him. I just thought I wanted Bogaerts over him.
Keith and I are both making faces.
That's fine. It wasn't an easy decision, but it was more about the
shortstop
eligibility kind of deal. Anyway.
Bogaerts is hot, but it's like all singles, so.
Yeah, I'm not in love with Bogaerts, but whatever. How about Rusne Castillo, guys? How droppable is he?
I couldn't get myself to drop him just yet, but I will say now Scott's shaking his head. But I feel like I'm close.
I've been disappointed for sure, but to me, he's the least droppable of this group.
And Jason Hayward?
Yeah,
okay, except for Hayward. The least droppable other than Hayward.
And I'll disagree with you to the extent that I'm not ready to drop Hayward in a three outfielder league.
Okay.
Again, I'm getting close.
Well, I just asked myself, like, because in theory, I would say I wouldn't drop Bruce either, and yet there he sits in that league. And, who would I just think through my points roster. Who would I drop for him? Would I drop Ryan Zimmerman? No. Would I drop Alex Rodriguez? Maybe, but it wouldn't be a slam dunk.
For who? For Hayward?
For Hayward, yeah.
I would not drop Rodriguez for Hayward,
I don't think.
No,
I wouldn't either.
So, A-Rod, it's been a while since
I just know how tight those rosters can get.
Tonight could be the night for A-Rod. He's got great history against Jared Weaver. Just saying.
Yeah, it was coming.
Well, A-Rod, he's due for a home run. All right, let's talk Week 10 lineups. Scott's got the hitting advice. Al has the pitching advice. Heath will chime in with comic relief.
Thank you. All right.
All right, Scott, go ahead.
Okay. I was not prepared for this, Adam. But
all right, Al, you want to go?
Sure.
We'll come back to Scott.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how this happens in back-to-back weeks. I guess it's a light schedule, and Scott, you actually probably have a better beat on that.
Only six teams playing seven games.
Yeah. So that's affecting your waiver choices. Not really many waiver choices, for two-star pitchers. So, you're probably going to your bench more than to waivers. But yeah, you may have some sit start type decisions. For guys like Hector Santiago, Nick Martinez, Lance McCullers. Now, McCullers has only started right now in 49% of leagues, but to me, he's a must start. At the White Sox, at home versus the Mariners for McCullers. And I do like Martinez this week. He's at Oakland, and we talked before about A.J. Griffin.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some comparability there between Martinez and Griffin. I don't think Martinez has the same control that Griffin does, but
I don't think you have any control when it comes to Nick Martinez.
I have some
comic relief.
Not this week. I won't. I'll start Nick Martinez this week because Oakland is really, I think, the ultimate place for a flyball pitcher, other than maybe Marlins Park. You got that big foul territory and the spacious outfield in Oakland. So he's at Oakland and then at home versus the Twins, who do not hit righties.
I have a pitcher question for you.
I hope I have a pitcher answer.
That is a two-start pitcher this week. That is, I think, about 60% owned. Nate Carnes.
I do not like him at all.
You don't like Nate Carnes at all. He gets the Angels, who are one of the worst teams in baseball against right-handed pitching so far, and the White Sox.
I agree. Those are great matchups.
Okay.
I just don't really trust Carnes.
Okay.
Because he's walked a lot of guys. He could be very homer prone, but the stats look great because of a ridiculously low BABIP and a low line drive rate. I don't trust either of those. And that to me is sort of the difference between, you know, a Carnes and a Nick Martinez type, is that if Martinez has a low BABIP, I buy it. You know, if Chris Young has a low BABIP, I buy it. Carnes, to me, it just looks like he's hugely regression bound.
Let me throw out more names at you here. John Lackey at Colorado, home against Kansas City.
Let's see. John Lackey with the start at Colorado. No thanks.
Phil Hughes, Kansas City at home, Texas on the road.
No, avoiding him pretty much regardless of matchups at this point, regardless of what kind of pitches he's throwing in my dreams.
DTM? DTM?
Not DTM.
Okay.
Dan Heron at Toronto, home against Colorado.
Yeah, Dan Heron at Toronto has to be avoided.
Mike Bolsinger has Arizona at home and San Diego on the road.
This one's kind of borderline to me. I guess I would lean start with Bolsinger.
Miguel Gonzalez, Red Sox and Yankees at home.
I would lean sit with Gonzalez. Don't really like him at Camden Yards very much.
Chris Heston at the Mets, home against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I'm leaning sit with Heston.
What?
I am. The control. Remember earlier in the year, well, actually, I don't know, Scott, maybe you remember talking about the control and some of those early starts where he was good, but looked like he was kind of getting away with getting himself into jams.
I don't think that was
maybe,
me.
Maybe that was a nerd cast with Chris Towers.
Nerd cast. Is that what you guys call it?
Yeah.
I'm like that. I'm not the nerd in this group. That's a rarity for me.
So yeah, that control's gotten a lot worse. So he's hard to trust even with some pretty good matchups.
Oh man, it's like a whole week of hard to trust. Tywan Walker, Jimmy Nelson, Mike.
Yeah, Nelson I would avoid like the plague. Walker, on the other hand, I think he's kind of fringy too. I don't completely trust the consistency, and the matchups are really tough actually at the Indians, at the Astros. But I really like what he's done the last couple of starts.
But they've been
the
at home.
We know about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
His road ERA is so bad, and these are two road starts for Tywan Walker.
Yeah, but are you looking at the home versus the road, or are you just going to look at recent trend? And are you then, you know, he's had a couple of home starts that have been really good, and you know, how do you separate those things? So look, if Walker for me is a last resort, but if it's a situation where I feel like I can take some risk, and maybe I need to take some risk and catch up in the standings, like in the podcast league, for example, I could see starting Walker.
So is there anyone that you think is a great guy to add this week?
Well, McCullers, Scott, and I have both found him in leagues available, okay, which is odd because his ownership percentage and his performance.
I found it when it was too late.
Would suggest, but yeah, if you can find McCullers, Bettis is the one guy. Again, very, very limited options for players who are owned in fewer than 60%. In fact, I'm counting right now 7 total in CBS leagues. And the only two that I really like out of the 7 are Foltynewicz and Bettis. And yeah, it's actually, I probably like Foltynewicz a little bit better than Bettis.
Okay, Scott, quickly with hitting advice, please.
Adam, I want to start with the bad matchups. I usually start with the good, but
it's just that kind of day.
It's just that kind of day. Yeah, the worst matchups belong to the Tigers, who are one of two teams playing 5 games this week. The Yankees are the other. Their matchups, Yankees matchups aren't the worst, but they do play 5 games. The Tigers, though, 5 games, and listen to the pitchers they face in these 5 games. John Lester, Jake Arrieta, Danny Salazar, Carlos Carrasco, and Corey Kluber. They not only have the worst matchups this week, they probably have the worst matchups of the year so far.
This is the Tigers, you said?
Yes, the Tigers. And that could make for some interesting choices this upcoming week, because a lot of their lineup is either, yeah, you're obviously not starting them, like Nick Castellanos or whoever they have playing center field. And then a lot of their lineup is, you obviously do start them. But the lower end of the guys you obviously do start, JD Martinez and Yoenis Cespedes, I think you could make a case to go away from them this week, especially Martinez because he's so strikeout prone, and those are obviously some big-time strikeout pitchers.
I feel like my Royals homerism is finally paying off because I didn't draft any Tigers, so I don't have to deal with this week.
This one week.
Yes.
It works in your favor, yes. So just to run through the other bad matchups here, the Rays and the Mariners are the other bad matchups for this week.
Starter sit Cano.
Probably start him, just because I imagine there wouldn't be a great alternative at second base. That would be the only reason I start him regardless of the matchup.
Would you start like Steve Pierce over Cano?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Okay. How about must start guys this week? Anybody?
Well, let me run through the good matchups real quick.
All right.
The Marlins have the best matchups, followed by the Red Sox, Cardinals, Blue Jays, and Pirates. Marlins are kind of a tough thing there at the top, too, because they don't have many great hitters. It'd be nice to be able to work Justin Bour in, but they're not facing enough righties for that. I kind of like Marcell Ozuna. He's picked it up a bit recently. He's well behind pace in terms of home runs, so I think he could take advantage of those matchups. I like Pablo Sandoval because finally the Red Sox get a righty-heavy schedule here and very hittable pitchers. I think he could end up having a good week. If you're thinking deeper, the Rockies are only at home the first half of the week, but those are the only good pitchers they face during the week, the Cardinals rotation. The back half of the week, they face the Marlins in four games at Miami, which isn't a good place to hit, but still bad pitchers. I like Ben Paulson because it's a bunch of righties, and I think the matchups are favorable enough for him to keep swinging a hot bat. Provided you can make a spot for him in your lineup. I know it's kind of tough to do. I would, in theory, like to start Chris Carter this week because he seems to be heating up and he's a very streaky player, and we know what happened when he heated up last year. Hit a bunch of home runs in a short period of time. I'd hate to miss out on that in Roto Leagues, so I'm probably going ahead and starting him in Roto Leagues, but I don't love the matchups. I mentioned the Astros were among the worst matchups, some very high strikeout pitchers. So probably in points leagues, I wouldn't be willing to start Carter just yet.
Time for emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll finish off with DFS after we read some emails. And, of course, watch Daily Fantasy Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on cbssports.com, Monday through Friday. Grade the trade from Josh. Give George Springer, get Carlos Carrasco. I already have Jones, Marte, and Hanley in outfield. So give Springer, get Carrasco.
I'll give that a B- with the contextual extra credit.
I thought we weren't supposed to use context.
No, you're the teacher. You make the rules.
Okay.
That's not how it works, really.
I was going to say, when I was a teacher, that was definitely not how it worked.
Okay. I'm going to give it a C- with no context.
I need to know the league context, because in a roto league, I don't like it. In a points league, I do like it.
So judge it without context.
C.
Hey, you ready to get nerdy? Here's an email from Ivan in Russia. Where can I find hard hit ball stats?
FanGraphs.
This podcast today is sponsored by FanGraphs.
Here's another.
Thought it was FanDuel, but it's actually the site that I always end up saying the wrong one for, FanGraphs.
Here's another nerdy one from Jameson in L.A. For those of us who want to get more involved in the statistics of baseball and fantasy baseball, where is a good place to start learning to do our own analysis? FanGraphs.
FanGraphs is a great place. There's good content there. Baseball Prospectus.
Should we give a shout out to the one we've been testing that will be coming out one day?
Sure.
Or not? There is a new website coming out that's more for daily fantasy research. I used to spend about an hour and a half every day making spreadsheets for that day's action, and this website does it for you. It's called fantasylabs.com, and if you go there, you can actually sign up to be a beta tester. I think it'll be free as long as you're beta testing, and then after that, it probably won't be free anymore, but we'll see.
Why isn't this podcast a good place to go? Like, Aren't we basically teaching people how to do that? Well, it's one thing to send it to a site with numbers, but if you don't know what to do with the numbers, what is it going to do for you?
No, that's.
I thought they asked for a place where they could start doing their own research.
Where they could learn to analyze. That's what they said, right?
Yeah, learning to do our own analysis. So come to our podcast and then go to these wonderful websites we're telling you about. And also, where I learned a lot was, and I mentioned the Baseball Prospectus website. I learned a lot from their annuals. I learned a lot from the Baseball Forecaster, which I also then used to write for. So shameless plug there. the web, annual, print publications, our wonderful podcast.
Basically everywhere.
All right, guys. Heath has to go soon, so I need to read more emails so we can do some FanDuel stuff. Will in New York. Would you trade J.D. Martinez for Corey Dickerson in a 12-team head-to-head categories league? Give up J.D. Martinez, get Corey Dickerson.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so, even with the foot injury.
Yep. Me three.
Here is Matt in Manhattan. Odubo Herrera received a mental day off Thursday night. What exactly does a mental day off entail?
that you are just totally out to lunch. You don't think. You don't use your brain.
And he says, I listen on the subway almost every day. Has Adam figured out the New York City subway system since relocating here? Yes, I have. I take 6-5 stops, and that's pretty much all you need to do, right? Here is Chris. 10-team head-to-head league, I was offered Quintana and Matt Poomaker for Eduardo Rodriguez.
This guy keeps tweeting me. He really wants this Poomaker thing to happen.
Well, it's funny because Shoemaker's wife was the one who said he's a laxative.
Right.
Yeah.
A natural laxative.
Yeah, natural laxative.
That's awesome.
10-team head-to-head.
I don't know that it is. I think that's probably TMI.
I was offered Quintana and Poomaker for Eduardo Rodriguez. Would you do that?
Oh, I answered this exact question. Okay, so here's what a 10-team league, very shallow.
So
a lot of turnover on waivers.
So you're flushing Poomaker no matter what.
Objectively, I like Quintana more than Rodriguez. Yeah, exactly. Shoemaker's just a throw-in. Objectively, I like Quintana more than Rodriguez, but in a shallow league like this, I'm kind of led by my heart to go with the upside in Rodriguez.
Me too.
All right.
Yeah, we're in sync on this one. Poomaker, by the way, is in the bullpen now. I mean, it's not going to be a permanent situation,
right?
But that kind of shows you.
Yeah, they're skipping him.
Yeah.
And last one, Kyle in Mbles, his abbreviation for Minneapolis, MPLS. Who do you like more?
It's Moores, not Moops.
Oh, yeah. Gattis or Lucroy, rest of season. Gattis or Lucroy, points league.
Lucroy.
Points league, Lucroy.
Heath, take it away, my friend. We're starting Jake Odorizzi. Who else?
Jake Odorizzi. If you want to go cheap, it's Raisel Iglesias, I feel like.
Ugh.
especially if you're playing on a site that has two pitchers. My favorite stack of the day, well, there's a game in Colorado, and Tom Kohler's pitching in it, so I will go with the Rockies. Really like Cole Calhoun at Yankee Stadium. He's only 2,600. That's stupid. Some other cheap players I like. Billy Butler's been white hot lately. He gets to go to Fenway against Wade Miley. He's only 2,200. Assuming I don't ever say his first name right. Deonner Navarro.
You got it.
Bam. If he's playing, he's 2,200 against Fausto Carmona. And then Neil Walker is the criminally underpriced 2,700 as usual. It's very difficult not to play Giancarlo, even though he's 5,300 today. He's got like a 1,350 OPS at Coors, which is should not be surprising to anyone. He may hit a ball to Wyoming.
I like Charlie Blackman, 4,000 facing. Yeah. I think Tom Kohler's just going to get rocked.
Oh yeah, I've got the lineup that I've put together already, since I don't usually have a lineup ready by the show, but I've been at work since 5 a.m., so.
Whoa.
Odorizzi, Navarro, Butler, Walker, Arenado, Tulo, Cargo, Blackman, and Cole Calhoun.
Okay. I'm going to get Tulo in there right now. Thank you for the Cole Calhoun tip. I like Jose Bautista, by the way. He's expensive, but he's 7-for-17 with 2 home runs against Roberto Hernandez. And righties against Jerome Williams are doing very well this year, and Williams has not been pitching well lately, and they're facing the Giants, so Hunter Pence is $3,000. Might want to get him in there.
Real quick, I do have some BVP All-Stars as well.
Oh, hit it.
And they're old-timers. Ryan Howard, 4
career home runs in 33 at-bats against Tim Lincecum.
Yeah.
Dustin Pedroia, 475, 580, 800 in 40 at-bats against Scott Kazmir.
Oh, you got to get it. He's 3,200. He's pretty cheap at second base.
Rajai Davis, a 355 hitter with a 548 slug and 31 at-bats against Jose Quintana. Miggy, a 360 hitter with 560 slug and 25 at-bats against Quintana. One more. A-Rod, 346 with 1,000 OPS, or 1,000 slug, I'm sorry, and 26 at-bats against Jared Weaver.
That is a BPV I can get behind.
Yeah, but the problem is, I don't know when in his career, like the same thing with Howard and Lincecum. I don't know when in their careers, was it the good A-Rod and the good Weaver? Was it the good Howard and the good Lincecum? Was it?
Okay, you can't say that and then say that you have to play Pedroia against Kazmir. When did that happen?
Well, Pedroia's playing so well and he's only 3,200 and he's leading off and.
Well, I think Al was basically saying, I want to start A-Rod against Weaver anyway.
Yes. Right.
But that's even more incentive to do so.
Gotcha.
Scott said it well. Yes.
Gotcha.
Scott's a connoisseur of BVP.
Oh, come on.
What about
Adam, aren't you a little worried about Pence with the wrist? It's a great matchup against Jerome Williams, no doubt. But
I thought he did okay coming back from it. I'd have to look into that, but thank you, Al.
There's a lot of good stacking options.
I hate to be rude, but I do have to
get out of here, Heath.
Farewell. Thank you for having me, Randy. I hope that you're happy and I can stay in the league now.
All right, that's Heath Cummings, Al Melchior, Scott White. I'm Adam Azer. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you on Monday.